The message I'm going to preach on today is about the life lessons from Noah, how to live under God's favor. You know, we're doing a series on the heroes of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm excited to start it off because, you know, we need to look at the people who lived before us and kind of like find inspiration from them and how they followed God through their successes and through their defeats, and how they rise up from their problems and their situations. And you can see God's hand and God's favor upon them. And we can learn a lot of things from their lives. Now, I came across an article in the internet entitled, "Everything I Need to Know I Learned from Noah." Okay? Okay. Number one, here's what I learned from Noah. Don't miss the boat. Amen. Number two, we are all in the same boat, right? Look at your neighbor and say to them, we are all in the same boat, okay? We're all in the same boat. Okay, another one, look at this one. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. That's right. Another one, look at this one. That's why you need Zumba on this one, okay? Stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something big. Another one is, don't listen to critics. Just do the job that needs to be done. You know what happened to Noah, right? He was mocked while he was building the ark. Another one, look at this one. This is for single people out there, all the single ladies and the single men. Why am I looking here? Why am I looking? Okay, but anyways, here we go. Look at this one. For safety's sake, travel in pairs. Okay. Okay. All right, and this one, look at this one. Speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on the board, the snails were on board with the cheetahs, so speed doesn't matter, right? If God calls you, you know, you'll be in the boat. Another one is this one. Remember, the ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. Which boat sank? Okay, I don't need to tell the story, okay? Lastly is this one. I know you'll be encouraged. No matter the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. Amen. Let us bow down our heads and close in prayer. We can go home now. No, I'm just joking. That's my introduction to the message. The title again of the message today is Life Lessons from Noah, How to Live Under God's Favor. The meaning of living under God's favor in the context of the story that we're going to talk about today goes beyond the material blessings that we undeservingly and unexpectedly receive from people. Thank you, Brother George and Sister Merlin. You know what I'm talking about. Or the parking space that was suddenly available for us after we prayed that God would give us one. How many of you do this, especially during Christmas time? You pray for a parking space, right? And God gives it to you, right? Or the job promotion that we were not expecting and God gave it to us. Although these can be manifestations of God's favor in a person's life, in the story of Noah, it is more than that. It is the ability to endure through difficult times and not give up. The ability to overcome sin instead of being overcome by it. The ability to fulfill great things for God, knowing the fact that apart from God's favor, it is impossible to fulfill. By faith in God, Noah experienced God's favor by saving him and his family from the judgment that was foretold by God in Genesis 6, verse 3. 120 years before it happened. So God was already warning the people during that time, 120 years. Which was the worldwide flood that destroyed almost all living things except the people and the animals inside the ark. In other words, God gave people 120 years to repent and turn away from their evil ways, but they did not. By faith in God, Noah lived out God's favor in his life by giving him the ability to rise above the ungodliness and wickedness of his generation, not allowing the influences that was around him and his family to compromise their faith. And finally, by faith in God, Noah reflected God's favor in his life by fulfilling the task and instructions of building an ark Most scholars say that it took about 55 to 75 years for Noah to complete it. And that does not include gathering the food and gathering the animals. If you are going to read Genesis chapter 6 to 8, which covers the story of Noah and the great flood, it is mentioned three times in these chapters that Noah did everything that the Lord commanded. You know, before we read the main text for today, let us first briefly establish that the story of Noah and the flood is not just a mythical story created by man to communicate a life lesson to abide by, but it is actually an event in history that happened thousands of years ago. Amen? There are a lot of convincing evidence to the historicity of this event, but for the sake of time, let me just mention to you three. Number one, stories of the great flood has been told in almost every culture in the world, and many indicate that it happened at the same time period. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, similar flood stories that exist in different cultures from Mesopotamia, Nigeria, China, just to name a few, can't be a mere coincidence. You know, during that time, there were no efficient communication tools just like what we have today. You know, during that time, they didn't have face scroll, right? Or ancient tube. They didn't have that. And for them to come up with similar global flood stories and dating it closely to the same time period is very telling that there was a global flood. Number two. Secondly, New Testament writers like the writer of Hebrews and in the letter of Peter mentions Noah as an actual person and the flood as an actual event, which tells you and I that they see the story in Genesis 6 to 9 as history. It's not a mythical story. It's history. And lastly, to me, the greatest evidence to the historical authenticity of the person of Noah and the great flood is Jesus himself. In Matthew 24, verse 37, he said, and I quote, "As it was written in the days of Noah," indicating that Noah existed and the event happened. I don't know about you, but if Jesus said it, then it's settled. Amen. Who's the greatest person that can testify about these things? You know, Jesus himself. You know, let us open our Bibles and read Genesis 6, verse 5 to 9, and I'm going to jump to Genesis 8, 20 to 21, and then I'm going to jump to Hebrews 11, verse 7. Amen? Let us read Genesis 6, verse 5 to 9. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had come on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Let me jump to Genesis 8, verse 20 to 21. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." Noah did this right after, you know, God allowed them to come out of the ark, which was 150 days after the flood. And let me go to Hebrews 11, verse 7. And the writer of Hebrews, talking about the life of Noah, says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is keeping with faith." Let us bow down our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. May you open up our hearts and our minds. May you give us ears to hear and a heart to obey what your Spirit will say this morning. Spirit of God, move mightily in our midst. I pray that you use me as your mouthpiece to speak forth your peace so that people will put their faith and trust in you. Lord, we are careful to give you all the glory and all the honor, because apart from you and without you, we are nothing. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may open your bulletins to the sermon outline, and I'm going to start under letter A of your outline. Letter A, it says here, Noah by faith found favor in the eyes of God in the midst of a corrupt and wicked generation because, number one, and I love this, he lived a righteous life. Say amen with me. Amen. Genesis 6:9 tells us, again, Noah was a righteous man. But the writer in Hebrews gave a more detailed description of what that really means, which says in the latter part of Hebrews 11, verse 7, by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. The kind of righteousness that this verse is talking about is not about self-righteousness that is born out of pride, but it is divine righteousness, which is a gift of God, born out of faith in God. Just like Abraham, Noah believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Righteousness that is imputed in us once we truly come to faith and believe in God with all our hearts. That's why for me, a person who has genuinely come to faith in God through his son Jesus has received the gift of righteousness and will progressively manifest his or her right standing with God in the way he or she lives, obeys God's commands, instruction, and will. You know, let me say this with love. Okay, let me say this with love. Nowadays, we can see people, hear athletes, and I'm not judging, don't get me wrong, but, and only God knows what's in our hearts, and we make that excuse all the time. But how many of us know is the evidence is in the pudding? So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of people who confess, who declare their faith in Christ Jesus, but they live their lives as if they don't know him. And that's the problem in this scenario. You know, we do receive the gift of righteousness. And yes, it's a gift. Righteousness is a gift from God. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, now we are in right standing with God. But if you have truly received the gift of righteousness, that righteousness should be manifested in the way you live, in the way you deal with others, in the way you walk in your life here on earth. How many say amen to that? Now, let me say this again with love, okay? Let me say this with love. If you claim that you have the righteousness of God because of your faith in Jesus, and you still find yourself excusing, abusing, and approving sinful lifestyle, habits, or attitudes, or even of others, my encouragement for you is to honestly look at your motives, desires, and decisions, and see if it does reflect the righteousness of Christ. And if it does not, expose and dispose things in your life that is not pleasing before God. Repent and renew your mind with God's word. And he is faithful not only to forgive us of our sins because he loves us so much, but he will give us the grace and the strength to overcome sin. Just like Noah, in the midst of a corrupt and wicked generation, by faith in God, he lived a righteous life, seen in how he obeyed God's word and will, and how he lived his life towards others, which will lead me to my next point. My next point is number two, which Noah by faith found favor in the eyes of God in the midst of a corrupt and wicked generation because he lived a blameless life. Amen. Not only that he was a righteous man, he lived a blameless life. Again, in Genesis 6, verse 9, the Bible tells us, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. Now, to live a blameless life in an environment where everyone, which according to Genesis 6:5, that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time, is evidence of God's favor or grace in Noah's life. Noah's genuine, active faith in God gave him the ability to rise above the ungodly influences that is around him. Instead of following the crowd, he chose to follow God. In our world today, I want you to hear me when I say this. In our world today, I believe we are facing somewhat the same challenge that Noah was facing during his time. Agree? Influences, knowledge, and ideas that goes against the knowledge of God in His Word is gaining more ground in the hearts and minds of people in our country, especially the young people of our generation. Amen. According to Tom Rainier, who is a guru on church growth and leadership, said in one of his articles, and I want you to read this, 1 out of 5 millennials is Christian. Only 1 out of 5 millennials is Christian. This is felt in our schools, society, even in our churches today. My prayer as a youth, college, and young adults pastor, that as a church, we need to partner with each other. Let me say this to you parents who are here. As a youth pastor, I really want you to partner with me. Let us partner with each other in raising up a generation of Noahs. That as fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers of the next generation, we should, by God's grace, genuinely model in our homes first, churches and community, how it is to love God above all, to love people the way Jesus did, to be involved in the life of the church and its ministries, and to uphold the Word of God as the final authority for life and faith. I believe with all my heart, if our children see the righteousness of Jesus being genuinely reflected in our lives, they would want what we have. Some things are more caught than taught. Amen? And let me say this to you. I have 2 kids. I always mention, the youth always kind of like give me a hard time on this. I always mention my 2 kids. My daughter Rekha is in the Philippines, and she's 22 years old, and she's taking up nursing and graduating next year. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise God in April. But she wants to stay there and still continue her studies. She wants to go into medicine and wants to become a doctor. Just like the dad. No, not the dad. Okay, like the grandma. And even my son Isaiah recently just told me that he wants to become a worship pastor. And don't get me wrong. I'm not tooting my horn here to let you know that I'm a perfect parent or my wife and I are perfect parents. We are not. And we try to model Jesus in our homes the best that we can. And sometimes you don't need to be perfect to be a perfect model. The only in the midst of your imperfections as a parent, if you did make a mistake and your children saw it, just man up to it and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. One of the ways that we can be a testimony to our kids is the ability to humble ourselves and to admit if we are wrong. Sometimes the parents, they portray that they're perfect, and we fall in that category because of pride. But if our kids see us model how to respond with the imperfections that we have in our lives and by asking for forgiveness and loving them and owning up to the mistakes that we make, I believe that they will see Christ's likeness in us all the more. But there's a big difference if your mother or your father comes to you and look you straight in the eye and say to you, son, daughter, I am sorry. I will not make any excuses whatsoever. As a parent, I failed, and please forgive me. Powerful. And I've done that to my kids so many times. Now, the reason why I know I can say that I have a good relationship with them, but in the beginning it was different, difficult. It was hard. Believe me when I say this, it was difficult. It was hard. Especially how they think, and the young people nowadays, the way they, they're very emotional. And it's, I'm sorry. You laugh because it's true, right? You know what I'm saying? And it's something that we need to learn how to navigate through and allow God to give us the wisdom how to respond to them. But don't get me wrong, I discipline my kids. I do. I don't spoil them. I let them know what's wrong and what's right. And I stick to my guns. But when I know for a fact that I'm wrong, when I made a mistake, when I was not listening to what they were trying to say to me, I learned how to apologize and say sorry. And I believe that's one of the ways that we can reach to the next generation. Amen? He lived a blameless life. I believe with all my heart that when God sees what we are doing and we are really, really intentional in fulfilling what He wants us to do, He will give us the wisdom and the strength to live a blameless life. Amen? The next point on how Noah found favor in the eyes of God is that he walked faithfully with God. I'm going to say amen to that. He walked faithfully with God. Again, in Genesis 6:9, the Bible tells us he walked faithfully with God. I want to repeat that again. He walked faithfully with God. There was a message on a church sign outside the building that said, I'm going to show this to you. You have it there, Hans? You have it there? Look at this one. There you go. We care about you Sundays, 10 a.m. only. You see that? It was actually a typo, but, you know, they made a mistake. But that's actually what it says. We care about you Sundays, 10 a.m. only. As believers in Christ, we are not called just to live for God from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Sundays. Amen? And then that's it. We know. To walk with God faithfully and consistently, especially in a world where no one is walking with God, goes to show God's favor on Noah's life. I'm imagining Noah was building an ark. People would have insulted him and ridiculed him because of Noah's genuine faith in God. God's voice and promises spoke louder than the voices he was hearing in the world. Notice that the word said in Genesis 6:9, and let me repeat it to you. I honestly want to repeat this because I want to stick into our hearts. He walked faithfully with God. This is a reflection of his intimate relationship with his Creator. When you are walking faithfully with someone, it speaks about the genuine fellowship that you have with that person. It is in those moments that you get to know their heart, their voice, and will. It is in this consistent and faithful walking with God that we will be able to know His heart, be familiar with His voice, and to be able to successfully fulfill His will for our lives, just like Noah. So let us walk faithfully with God. Amen? Last point under letter A on how Noah found favor in God's eyes is that he lived a life of worship. Let me read to you once more, Genesis 8, verse 20 to 21. It says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. When Noah built an altar to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings on it, after God allowed them to open the door of the ark and settled on dry ground, it shows us that Noah's initial response to God's salvation, sustaining grace, and goodness was to worship God. When we live a life of worship just like Noah, our reverence or respect for God is shown in how we come to Him in humility and thanksgiving, recognizing that apart from God or apart from Him, we are nothing. When we have a healthy view of who God is, it will give us the ability to trust in God's sovereignty, character, and will. Check this out. Especially during times in our lives when we don't fully understand why God allowed certain situations to happen. I guess some of you are in this boat. What do you do when you know for a fact that God is good, but good things is not happening in your life? What happens when you know for a fact that God is love, and God is powerful, and you feel that His hand is not doing anything about your situation, there are two responses that you can do. One is you can worship in your pain. And when you do that, you will see who God is in your situation. That instead of saying, God, I don't understand why these things are happening in my life. I don't know why you allow me to go through this specific situation. Why am I still sick? Why I've been praying for 8 or 10 years? Why is my husband still the same way after praying for so long? Why is my wife still like that, nagging me after for so many years? I'm not talking about my wife, okay? Is that impressive? I'm not talking about her. I'm not talking about her, okay? You see, if you choose to run away from God, do you think your situation will get better? But if you come to God in worship, trusting in His sovereignty, in His character, and in His will, then He will give you the grace and the strength to go through the darkest and the most difficult times in your life. And through those moments, that's when you really see who God is. That the power that you will experience from God is not just the blessings that material gain can give, but it is the strength to overcome the most difficult times in your life with a smile on your face, knowing and understanding that God has a purpose and God has a plan and God will be glorified in your situation one of these days. But in order for us to have that kind of mentality, we need to approach God in worship. Now, if you don't have a healthy view of who God is, what will happen is that instead of running to God, you will run away from Him. That's why to live a life of worship just like Noah, you will experience living under God's favor, which is the ability to continue to believe in God when it is hard to believe. To continue to fulfill God's commands and instructions when it is hard to obey. And to be sustained by His power and to overcome sin. Amen. Respond in worship. Respond in worship. Let it be life application. I'm done. Like Noah, let us, number one, grow in our faith in God by reflecting His righteousness through our obedience to His will and word. Amen. Question, how can we cultivate growth in our faith in God? Number one, daily Bible reading and prayer. Amen. Number two, involve yourself in the life of the church by being part of a life group and weekly church attendance. Number three, serve in a ministry. Number four, commune with mature believers for mentorship and accountability. Number five, intercede and pray for others. Number six, pursue and be passionate in fulfilling God's will for your life. Number seven, live to worship God. And number eight, encourage others with your life and words by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you do all these things, let me say this to you, you will find yourself growing in your faith in God because you will realize that life is not really about you, but life is all about Him. Amen. Number two, life application. Like Noah, let us glow for God by living a blameless life towards others. Look at your name and say, glow for God. Glow for God. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about too much makeup, okay? I'm talking about the way you live, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you converse with people. Let the righteousness of Christ, let the love of Christ ooze out from your life. That when people see you, when people talk to you, that they will feel something different because of the Christ that is in you. Whenever there's a situation where, you know, you are like driving in the freeway and somebody cuts you, glow for God. Instead of putting up the middle, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying? You say, hi, God bless you. Right? How many guys hate that? You know, somebody cuts you, right? And yeah, praise the Lord. So glow for God, right? Especially when you're waiting in the DMV for your license renewal. Glow for God. Sing songs of praise unto His name. Amen. Change your mindset about the situation. Instead of asking God why, ask God what. What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to change in my life? What attitudes do I need to remove so I can reflect who you are in the way I live my life every day? Number three, life application. Like Noah, let us go with God every day by faithfully living for Him. Amen. It's not just like what I said earlier, not only from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. during Sundays. We live for God on a daily basis, whether people are looking at us or not. I believe with all my heart that we can develop integrity and credibility in our walk with God if we do practice the presence of God on a daily basis, whether people are looking at us or not. Want to live a holy life? Practice holiness when nobody's looking. Want to live a righteous life? Practice righteousness when nobody's looking. And when that happens, when you develop that habit of living a holy life and a righteous life when nobody's looking, when you are in public, everything that you do is just a natural thing. So you won't slip when you're doing stuff. That you'll be a constant example of who God is. Go with God every day by faithful living for Him. And lastly, glorify God through our worship. I'm saying amen to that, right? Glorify God through our worship. Now, somebody said this, a person that I really admire, I believe with all my heart, the best worship leaders that this church has ever produced. And she said this, and she's my all-time favorite worship leader. And she said this, he said something like this: for me, my own definition of true worship is giving all of our hearts, our minds, our time, our devotion, and our loyalty to God without reservation. They are not only expressed through singing, but they are shown in the way we live our lives, not just on Sundays, but every day of our lives. You know who said that? It's my beautiful wife. All-time favorite worship leader. Amen. But every time she does her voicing in the car practicing, I hate it. I don't like that. Don't do that while I'm in the car, okay? Amen. How many of you want to be like Noah? Praise God. Noah was a person that was righteous. He was blameless among others. He was blameless among other people. He walked faithfully with God, and he lived a life of worship. And like Noah, my prayer is that we will grow in our faith in God. My prayer is that we will glow for God by living a blameless life towards others. My prayer is that we will go with God every day by faithfully living for Him. And my prayer for all of us is that we will glorify God through our worship.